This is Novel Marketing, Episode 8.
I'm James L. Rubart.
I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr.
And this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors.
And today we're going to talk about where to get started with marketing. A lot of folks listening to this podcast are brand new authors, and they don't know where to get started, or they're overwhelmed with the amount of material that's out there, all the suggestions on where to get started. And so we're going to be talking about that. Where do you get started to have the best results at the end of the road?
And I love this topic, Thomas, because there are so many novelists that go, I'm not a marketer. I don't know where to start. Where do I start? Because these days you can go type marketing on the internet and you can have, 30 years worth of work just within the first page.
That's right. And I'll tell you that pretty much everything you're going to find in those first results are not where you want to get started. And here's why. It actually goes back to a quote from Sun Tzu, who wrote a book, The Art of War, back 2,000 years ago. And he said, strategy without tactics is the slowest path to victory. But tactics without a strategy is the noise before defeat. So strategy is the big picture. Tactics are the little picture. Let me give that again. Strategy without tactics is the slowest path to victory. But tactics without the big picture, without the overall strategy, is the noise before defeat. And that's what we see a lot of authors doing. They go read some blog and they go sign up for Facebook and Twitter and they do all these tactical things without figuring out what the big picture is. And it's all this noise, it's all this effort without any results. And they get really frustrated, they get burnt out, and they start hating marketing. And many of you who hate marketing, this may have been your experience with a previous book or with your current book. So we want to kind of help you guide on that path or know where to get started. And go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we are not trying to get you to love marketing. It's okay but we want you to make a truce with marketing, and we want you to do marketing in such a way that it doesn't burn you out. You see the value of it and you come out of your marketing seasons going, hey, that was okay. That was okay.
Yeah, that's good. So let me give you some questions to get started. The first tip is that you want to think first who, then what. So tip number one is to think first who, then what? So some questions under that. The first one is, who am I writing for? It's a question a lot of authors never answer, or they're like, well, I'm writing for myself. Like, well, that's okay, as long as you're okay with yourself being your only reader. If you want people to read your book, you need to write for other people or have a representative reader in mind. So some people write, some very successful authors throughout history, their target audience has been their children or a specific child, and they're writing those books to that child. In fact, I think The Hobbit was written by J.R.R. Tolkien for his son, Christopher. And it was like his son was his target audience. And so it's like, what does Christopher like? Was how he would answer questions and decisions based off of his book, The Hobbit. And, you know, last I heard, it sold a lot of copies. You know, it's doing okay in the marketing. Another question is, who am I? The first question, who's my reader? And the second question is, who am I? Specifically, what makes me different? A lot of authors try to be as much like some other successful author as they possibly can. And the problem is that we already have a Mark Twain. We already have a C.S. Lewis. We already have a Stephen King. And you trying to be the next Stephen King is not going to work because we already have the best Stephen King. He's alive. His name is Stephen King.
And we will do a podcast at some point, probably a series of podcasts on branding and the whole thing of how do you brand yourself. And this is really the first question of branding is, who am I? What makes me different? But even to start with that, Thomas is asking you a great, great question, because I don't care how good that Beatles tribute band is, there's still a copy and you're not going to pay as much. Well, you can't go see the Beatles, of course, now. You haven't been able to since 1966. But you see my point, that as good a copy as you are of Stephen King's voice and his style, you're still going to be a copy. You got to be you.
The world has enough Elvis impersonators. We need a you
that's
impersonator.
Right. We need a you impersonator.
So to dive a little bit deeper, as you're asking, who am I? What makes me different? Ask, what are my strengths? What am I good at? And this will really help you with your marketing, because you want to play to your strengths and delegate your weaknesses. So if you're really good with people, you're really good in front of audiences, and you're not good with technology, you need to craft your marketing in such a way where you're in front of people and in front of audiences as much as possible, and you have other people do the technology for you if that's not your thing. Or if you're a really good writer and a terrible editor, don't do your own editing. Find someone to come alongside you, get a co-author. Or if you're really good at writing, but you need someone to hold you accountable, you know, find what those strengths are, find what those weaknesses are. I remember working with an author, and he didn't have much in the way of a platform himself, but he had a lot of really influential friends. So we're like, okay, our marketing strategy for you is going to be 60% calling your influential friends and asking them to promote your book. And these are folks who had lists of 20,000 email addresses and blogs of hundreds of thousands of readers. And we sold out his book in weeks. His entire first printing vanished, even though his actual platform wasn't that big. We were able to find what his strengths were and play to those strengths. And then going along with this, be honest about what your weaknesses are. A lot of authors, they see their weaknesses and they're like, I'm going to make this weakness a strength and I'm going to work hard and I'm going to muscle through it. I'm like, ugh. You're at the point in your life where that's not going to work. You know, if you're 12, maybe you have your whole life in front of you. But if you're older, life's too short and your strengths will only become excellent strengths if you focus on those, making them even better.
And some of you are probably going, this is old material. You're familiar with, for example, a book and a website called Strength Finders. But for those of you who aren't, let us do just a Reader's Digest version of what they found out about strengths and weaknesses. They did a test of speed reading, and they took a group of people that were really slow readers, and they took a group that were very fast readers. They gave them both the same training. After the training, they tested the slow readers because it's like we have this mentality. I got to work on my weaknesses. I got to work on my weaknesses. And there was significant improvement for the poor speed readers. They increased their speed and comprehension by 600%. And you're going, wow, that was significant. However, the people who were already very fast at reading, their speed and comprehension went up somewhere around 2,000%.
Wow.
So you can see the difference. You can take your strengths and make it an unbelievable strength, or you can focus on your weakness and get a little bit better.
And that's so critical, because in a world with 6 billion people, the only way they're going to stand out is by doing one thing really well.
Yep,
The days when you could be an expert at everything, you know, like the days of our founding fathers, it was, you know, a billion people or less, you know, a few hundred million people on the whole planet. And so the competition was a whole lot less. There are more people currently living in Harris County in Texas than lived in the entire United States in the Revolutionary War.
Wow.
So it was a lot easier to stand out. Now you got to focus so much more than you did. So that's principle one. First two, then what? Get to know who you are, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. The second thing I would recommend is to start with education. There's a saying that we had in Boy Scouts that a week's worth of canoe training is worth a lifetime of paddling around.
That's good.
Because you can do the same bad techniques over and over again for your entire life and never get better.
Is this paddling around? Is this going in a circle?
Yeah. Or maybe you finally learn how to get it to go straight.
You paddle on the other side as well.
But there are advanced paddling techniques if you get into canoeing that you would maybe never pick up if you didn't study paddling. And I'll tell you, I see this more in blogging than anywhere else. Mm. I'll see folks who are plugging away and they're being faithful and persistent in their blogging, but they never spend any time training. And they're writing bad blog posts with boring titles that get no comments over and over and over again, and they're not getting any better. And if at the beginning, if they had just invested a little bit into training so they could tell what was good, what was working, what was not working, over time they would have been increasing in their quality, and all of that effort would have been put to really good use. But instead, they've been reinforcing bad blogging habits so that then when they get training, they're going to have to unlearn what they've learned and then learn the right way to do it. So, Jim, what are some places where we can go to get good training? What would you recommend?
Well, books. I mean, there are so many great marketing books out there. So you can start with books. You can start with blogs. There's blogs on marketing that you can subscribe to. I mean, there are things that are free here. So I would say start with books and blogs. The other thing is I would go to writing conferences, specifically writing conferences that are designed for novelists. Now, those of you who haven't been to a writing conference, it's not just on craft and editing and that kind of thing. It's also on PR and marketing, et cetera. It's not just on the craft portion, is not just on fiction. It is on blogging. It is on article writing. And so you really, that hands-on training at a writing conference, and we talk a lot about people going to writing conferences. We're big on writing conferences for the connections, for the relationship, for the encouragement, but also for hands-on, really good technique.
A couple of books that I recommend on marketing. One is Platform by Michael Hyatt. It's mostly geared for nonfiction, but a lot of those techniques will apply for your fiction marketing. He's got a section in the back specifically for for fiction marketing. Another book is Inbound Marketing. We'll have links for these in the show notes.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And Inbound Marketing, I run a web design, web marketing company, and we don't let anyone interview for a job here until they've read Inbound Marketing. That is, your very first interview is a book discussion of that book. That's how important we feel that it is. It helps introduce people to the new way marketing is done in this 21st century. And, you know, we got an 18-year-old who's applying for a job, who's a digital native. He has to read the book before he gets an interview. That's how important it is. No one is exempt. So Inbound Marketing and Platform by Michael Hyatt.
And then finally, I'd say Bestseller Society, which has a great number of resources. I'm not involved in this, so I don't get anything off of this. Thomas is. He's a founder of Bestseller Society, but I would suggest checking out Bestseller Society as well.
All right. So enough of the big picture stuff. What do we actually do to get started with the marketing? What are some suggestions of where to get started first?
Well, I would say, let me back you up for a moment. And you touched on this, Thomas, knowing who your target is. I got my teeth cut in radio. I was on air in radio for a number of years, and then I ended up selling radio. So I understood the marketing side. I understood the product side of being on the air. And everything we did was around who is the demo, right? Mm. So it's women 25, 44. That's who we're going after. And so we got an image of this soccer mom. We knew what her van looked like. We knew how many kids she had. We knew where she drove. We knew where we shopped. Everything was focused on this because we knew that our radio station, KLSY, was not going to appeal to the headbangers. And I see this again and again and again with novelists. They go, well, who's the audience for your book? Well, it's everybody. Everybody will read my book. That's not true. You know, you take a look at the best-selling books or movies of all time. They missed a vast number of people. So first of all, you got to go think like a radio station. Think like an advertiser. Go, who is that target? And I would say, write a book proposal. You should write a book proposal because in that proposal, you're going to be drilling down on who exactly this is going to appeal to. You're going to be drilling down on selling lines. When I wrote, you know, my book, my second book, Book of Days, I said Book of Days is National Treasure meets M. Night Shyamalan Signs without the aliens. Okay, that was my sell line for the book because I'm thinking like a marketer. I want to be able to describe that to somebody where they go, well, that sounds interesting, to an editor, to an agent, and a reader. So when you do that book proposal, you're going to have to drill down and figure out, okay, what other books are like my book? Who is the target audience for this book, et cetera, et cetera. So even if you've got a contract, I would write this book proposal because it focuses you.
Absolutely. And you're talking about audience, and I can hear some of you on the other side of the podcast being like, if I pick a narrow audience, people outside that audience aren't going to buy my book. If I focus on 25-year-old women who've just gotten married, giving them, you know, a story for them, like, no. What you're doing when you create that, what we would call in the website business personas, because we do the exact same exercise for our websites that you do. You call them demos, we call them personas.
Right.
You create a fictional person that everything is written for. But what that does is it's just painting a red dot on the center of the target.
Right.
Are men going to listen to your radio show? Yes, they are.
Yeah.
You're not screening them out. But by aiming at that red dot, you're going to hit the target more often than not and end up getting more people than if you're just like, you know what, whatever. Whoever, this is for everyone. It's like,
that's right. Next thing you're going to say to me, Thomas, is Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah.
But seriously, think about that. That was a YA book. Mm-hmm. That's targeted at a, you know, a 15-year-old girl who's into adventure and all this kind of stuff. Well, that's pretty narrow. And then it just explodes and it spills over into everybody else.
That's right. If you're faithful with little things, if you're able to thrill a small niche, they will talk about you to a broader niche.
Yep.
Whereas if a big niche is like, meh, you're not going to get very many sales at all. Some other things that you can do tactically after you've answered these questions, you know, set up a Facebook page, set up a Twitter account, good on Goodreads. We'll have episodes in the future giving you advice on how to do those things well. But those tactical decisions, those kind of nitty-gritty things, you don't want to get started until you have answers for who is this Facebook page for? You know, who am I that I'm talking about on this Facebook page? You see how if you don't have answers for those big questions, everything about that Twitter is going to get hard. And if you're having a hard time, you're like, I don't know what I should be talking about on Twitter. I don't know what I should be talking about on Facebook. You need to stop and answer these deeper, bigger questions first. And once you have really good answers there, it'll make everything else easier. And that's what this podcast is going to help you with. So don't, if you're getting freaked out, just keep listening, subscribe, and we will walk you through these things step by step. And do ask us questions. We want to make this podcast as good as we can for you.
Yeah, seriously, if we end up with a podcast, and we're going to do this as we go along, we'll probably have a frequent podcast where the whole thing is just answering your questions.
Yes. This show is brought to you by Author Media. If you're wanting a website and you're wanting someone to walk you through the website process, that is what we do, authormedia.com. There's also a blog at Author Media that's been featured by Writer's Digest as one of the most helpful websites for authors because it's got step-by-step instructions for how to set up Facebook, how to set up Twitter, and all those technical things that you might want help with as an author. Author Media is there with free resources and free guides and also paid professional help.
And as always, you can connect with us at novelmarketing.com. And thanks for listening to the Novel Marketing Podcast, giving you novel ideas on how to sell yourself and your writing online, offline, and everywhere in between.